Right now, it's the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Laser Eye Care and by A Number One Air.
Thank you, Craig. It's time for Blue Ribbon Observations. As far as being aggressive on the first drive, McCarthy goes for it on fourth down, doesn't get it, then challenges it, and then he loses the challenge, and I think he should have challenged it again there because I like a coach really aggressive, and you need to go all out on your first drive like that.
Hey, Bones Fossil, the special teams coach, said that he is aggressive because Cowboy fans like aggressive football.
Oh, okay.
No other fans in the NFL nope. like aggressive football.
Nobody
but
else.
Now that he's in Dallas.
Yeah, yes, everybody else is real conservative. Steve Belichick looks like such an Owen Wilson Saturday Night Live character with the ridiculous hair, and he just looks like the intense guy who's coked up at a party that won't stop talking.
Yes.
Why does he go with that look? Is that coming back in now, the mullet?
Not that I know of.
Some traction a couple years ago, but I think it's
I know girls were getting the mullet there for a few years ago, but were guys?
Yeah.
To me, he looks like he's wearing one of those fake mullet visors or hats
yeah.
that has the mullet coming
fake.
Out of the back.
Yeah.
It looks very costumey. And he's always doing weird stuff with his mouth.
Yes. Expressions are really strange.
What's going on with that? Speaking of weird stuff with mouths, always an awkward transition. But Zeke Elliott's very twitchy, isn't he?
I mean, like he's quick and can accelerate through the...
Well, I tried to look up to make sure that there's not something medical that I don't know about with Zeke. But when he's wearing his helmet, he is so twitchy. I don't know whether he's OCD, but his mouth is always doing weird stuff. Like he's on X, you know, just everybody's messing with his mouth. And then he's always got his helmet. Looks like it's always bothering him. And when he has his helmet off, he's fine. But watch him after a run, and if he's walking back to the huddle, which is only about half the time, seems like half the time he's calling to be taken out of the game after he makes a run. Did running backs always get this winded? Like after every 10-yard run, they had to be taken out?
Not the great Emmitt Smith.
Nope.
Not Walter Payton.
Earl Campbell.
Jim Brown. They played every snap.
Is that stadium up there in... outside of Boston, is it at altitude or something? Is it like, why is Zeke always having to come out after ripping off a 10-yard run?
COVID long hauler?
Yeah, that's my theory, but.
Or maybe they just tell him that and that's
no,
what the Cowboys have.
I'm talking about when he stands up and does the, he's motioning for someone to come
T.O.
in.
T.O. Need
yes.
T.O.
Time out. Time out.
I'm burning.
Lungs are burning.
But I'm saying maybe the Cowboys have told him, hey, we've got two running backs. If you just feel a little bit winded, let's keep the fresh guy in there, and that'll be part of our success.
Yeah, maybe they have told him that.
You know what Jim Brown would say to that?
Hmm.
Keep that guy on the sideline.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm Jim freaking Brown.
All right. It just seems strange to me. But watch for the Zeke twitchiness. You can find, I think there's actually GIFs out there where you can see Zeke and they'll show him afterwards and he's just doing, his mouth is going crazy. It's like a malfunctioning robot or something. And when he doesn't have his helmet on, you don't
he's
see
fine.
Him doing that on the sidelines. You don't see him constantly moving his mouth and, you know, trying to get his chin strap looking adjusted properly. So quarterbacks have an earpiece in their helmet. I know that. Do they also have a microphone? Is it a two-way communication device, or is it just one way?
One way.
I believe it's one way.
They're not allowed to have the microphone in there?
I don't think they are. Either that or they don't have the technology, but that's why you'll see they're always gyrating to the coach or motioning, get the play in or something like that. They don't. Mm-hmm. You never see them press a button and talk back.
God, that'd be great if they did. If they were real Secret Service looking out there. I was wondering this, and I think I know the answer to it, but why do the refs have those strings that come around their finger, come down on their finger? You notice that?
For the down.
Yes, it's not only for the down, though. They do it for a few different reasons. One is the down, and they'll move it from finger to finger depending on the down it is. You'll see it. It's just a little black string that wraps around the index finger or the middle finger, ring finger, pinky. But they also do it to keep track of whether the ball was outside the hash mark or not. And some of them do have a little thing that they can flip over that tells them which team has the ball.
Hmm.
You wouldn't think they'd have to keep track of that.
No.
But the explanation is that from a former NFL referee said that you'd be surprised. He goes, when you live in the moment, when you're a ref, you lose track of everything, and so you have to keep track of everything.
I can see that. You're trying physically to concentrate on the number, where it was, and all of a sudden, wait, is that
right.
a punt? What was that?
Right. So you have a thing, that where a little thing that you flip over that has a different color on the other side that tells you which team has the ball even.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so strange that with such advances in technology that we still use a string around the finger for them to remember things by. In the NFL, yeah. multi-billion dollar industry, we're still using that kind of old technology. Okay, so third quarter, they show a split screen of Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft. Jerry's talking animatedly to someone next to him. Hey, guys. And Robert Kraft is setting up an appointment at Orchids of Asia on his phone, doing the old person text thing with the index finger, really one letter at a time.
Yep.
Probably takes him 20 minutes to write out a full sentence. Somebody should hit Robert Kraft and say, you're on camera. Don't be texting.
You know, sometimes there's a delay, though, and like in that suite, they won't know that he's on camera for 7 seconds or 10 seconds. You'll see the delay a lot when they'll show Jerry Jr., for example, and he's watching the monitor. And then about 7 seconds later, then you see his eyes get big and he fidgets, realizing he just came up.
Yeah, but I don't think that's because of the delay. I think that's because that's just when they notice it. Like they're watching the field and then they're not looking at the TV that they have on in the suite. And that's when they notice that they're on in the suite. And that's when Jerry would take off his readers or something like that.
There is a slight delay. I don't know how long it is.
It couldn't be more than a second.
It's got to go to space and all the way back.
That's a good one for maybe a P1 who sits in a suite at Cowboys games, because they'd have the game on. They'd be able to tell us.
Mm-hmm. So if it's longer than a... Well, I think I know the answer to that. The shot in the owner's box after the win, you see Jerry and all his family kissing each other. Very Arkansas thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everyone in the family kisses each other's face. Notice there was only one family member missing from that. Jerry Jr.
From the kissing or from the scene?
From the scene. It was Steven and Jerry Sr., Gene Sr., and Charlotte Jr. They were all there, but where was Jerry Jr.? I don't know.
He may have been there somewhere. He just went in on the group hug and kiss.
I hated the CeeDee Lamb showboating at the end of the game. I guess he patterned himself after Deion, so we got to see this. And I loved it when he got...
The high step slowdown.
Mills just threw him, you know, through the end zone at that.
Yeah, I thought that was funny when he did that.
I thought that was funny. And I actually thought it was funny when CeeDee Lamb got back up and just started waving in Mills' face, like, bye bye.
Bye.
Bye. See ya.
About the whole thing about having a good time? They're having a good time.
They are having a good time, but he's taunting the guy back behind him. I guess we like that, right?
Yeah.
I just like that. I mean, I love the dominant streaking into the end zone. It looks awesome. But then at the end, I hate the slowdown. Maybe it's just because it always makes me nervous.
Too. Yes, because when they do the slowdown. Backfires. It does. It's going to backfire on them one of these times.
Can't you showboat and not slow down? I guess maybe that's
showboat
what I want.
After you race into the end zone.
And I have some exciting audio here for you. This happened with about 6.5 minutes left in the first half. A brilliant personality-filled exchange between two high-level broadcasters. Jim Nantz promoting the Intercept Cancer Initiative by telling about how 9 people who had cancer victims who had a day off with pampering, and they got to meet some patriots and so on. And then Tony starts talking, too. I thought this was great.
Tony who?
Tony Romo. Let's see if this will actually play.
The pro golfer?
Tuesday, New England hosted the 5th annual Patriots Day of Pampering here at the stadium. 9 cancer patients currently receiving treatments enjoyed a day of manicures, yoga, candle making, relaxation. Got to meet players like Jonathan Jones, Matt Judon, Jacoby Myers, Jonnu Smith.
I'd like to enjoy a day of manicures, yoga, candle making. Maybe a little relaxed.
I actually think
you're big into candle making. Don't lie. Come on. That's your favorite thing on the side. Tell the people.
Hey, I will. Time to fess up. How many? Forget the manicure. How many pedicures are you getting in a week now? Are you down the one or two?
I don't feed my dogs. What is it?
Okay.
Pediatric kids. Gosh.
Speaking of pampering, okay, we've got a player down. It's the Cowboys, Maurice.
Okay. It's not bad. Wait, why are you looking not entertained?
I've said all I need to say about him. And yesterday was...
What's wrong with Jim Nance?
What's happened to Tony Romo? This is how Tony he's Romo? Always been. He's terrible. I've said all I need to say about it. That was his worst moment yesterday, but he had 50 ridiculous moments. That's all I have to say.
Can he be a little bit funny? I told y'all a long time ago. Can he at least say that he also would like to be a cancer victim announcer. That gets pampering?
I think he's an example of a guy that is buying into what everybody says about him, and now he feels like he doesn't need to try. He just rolls in on Sunday and says, who's playing? And then just yaps for 3 hours, and yesterday was horrible.
He does more prep than that. All right, second example.
Play an example of someone who's
okay. This is good. Tony shows you why he's great during the next gen stats. That's what he does, right? He's going to give you the next gen stats and give you some analysis here. So let's take a listen.
Let's go first down. Let's take a look at next gen stats powered by AWS.
Well, the seam route, staple of this offense. Play action through a seam. This time was with the running back. But watch Mac Jones' eyes. If you're going to throw a seam route left, look right. Come back. Anticipate it, throw it, catch it, touchdown it.
It's first and 15.
Yes.
What just happened?
Even Craig's laughing.
What just happened?
It's great to hear that kind of personality. Not since Madden have we had. Why are you looking at me like I'm crazy?
Someone I've said all I need to say. I don't need to say anymore.
Why are you looking at him like he's billionaire Theodore
like
Crazy?
Like I'm Theodore Crazy over here. Like I'm starting Crazy House. You didn't think he was good yesterday.
Why don't you give me credit just one time for being right about something?
Well, tell me when you were right.
When I said Tony Romo is not a good announcer 3 years ago.
This is Gordo's way of getting you to say it so that he doesn't have to, but he believes what
he
you
believes.
Believe.
No, that I he's don't. Just going on.
I actually enjoy Romo
no,
on
you
the
don't.
Games.
There's no way you there's do. No,
yes,
you
I do.
Nobody
what do you
does,
mean there's no
though.
Way that
because
is?
Nobody does.
Everyone does. That's why he's the highest paid announcer in the NFL.
And nobody has bought into being the highest paid announcer in the NFL like Tony Romo. I think I had it right in the very beginning. You remember week one, week two, week three of his career? I thought he was awful. Remember that?
Yeah.
I said he's trying to be Madden. He's trying to be the predicting. I hated all of it. Then about midway through that year, through his next year, he got, I thought, pretty good. Then last year, and this year, horrific.
Whoa.
So George is right, but I also, in the beginning, I thought he was pretty bad. He did have a good stretch where I think he got rid of the Madden George. Stuff and the predicting stuff, and he started doing some nuts and bolts that was pretty good. And then everyone told him he was the best, and then for the last year and a half, he's been the worst because everybody told him he was the best, and he stopped trying. And he really does. That P1 put it best. He rolls in and says, who's playing? And then they flip on the lights
ridiculous.
And the broadcast starts. And he's just yapping for 3 hours. He rarely says anything.
He gave us two movie references, like within the same bit of analysis. I think he referenced Dirty Dancing and then some Will Ferrell movie. It's great. Pop culture.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.